Hello, everybody. Welcome to the King of Anime Podcast. My name is The Sea Tactics, and I am incredibly sick. So sick that I may not make it until the end of the podcast. So, possibly for the last time, to introduce my co-host and probably successors. Everything in any anime annotated and everything annotated. And Suitsuku the Suvage.
Yup.
It is I, Suitsuku the Suvage.
Can you at least write me a will? Write me in the will before you bite the dust?
Yeah, you'll get my watch.
What do I get?
I got a Grand Theft Auto 5 pre-order poster from GameStop.
Hate you.
Yeah, that's all I got. So,
we'll take it.
Welcome to the King of Anime Podcast, everybody. It is me, the Sea Tactics, and this is the show, if you don't know, where we talk about anime every week. And this week we're talking about ReZero, the last episode of Snafu, and the last two episodes of Ping Pong, the animation. So we might as well go ahead and get right into it with ReZero. Ekidona's a crazy bitch.
Say so. She freaking, she went on a really long monologue, didn't she? Talking about herself, mainly. But the one thing that I got out of that is that I think we kind of knew that this was coming. She was deceitful and lying and leaving stuff out. It's like, I knew it! I knew it. I knew she was lying. Because she's a witch. I mean, she even says that too at some point. Well, naturally, I'm a witch. It's like, no, you can't just fall back on that. You're just a bad person. Because even the Wizard of Oz has good witches. But even then, the good witch, all she had to do was tell her to click her heels 3 times. And she never did it, that fucking bitch. But that's how I feel about witches. I'm sorry. but this particular episode, a lot of interesting back and forth. The one thing that was really neat that I saw was when he was, I guess he was going through another trial, and he was seeing all the effects of him dying and what happened after he had died in that world. And that was totally trippy. Like, that just blew my mind. I was like, you know, you never really did ever get to see that part. You always saw him just snapping right back to the part where he had left off. And to me, that was just really a man. Could you imagine having to see all the times in which that had happened and how horrified everyone else was after you had died? Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, I think that was probably my favorite part of the episode, surprisingly, because, you know, with people who think they know me, they'll probably think, oh, yeah, a girl with boobs popped up, so that'll probably be my favorite part. But no, I think the part with Subaru seeing the aftermath of his deaths was the most interesting, because to me, I think that makes Subaru, it shows him everything that Return by Death brings, because from his perspective, he dies, he goes to a new world, everything is brand new, he gets a clean slate. But in these different realities, people have to live in a world without Subaru. So I think while he'll still use Return by Death as an asset to, you know, him getting the ending that he wants, he'll probably not see it as much as a convenience, because now he sees that, you know, it's not just, things don't just restart from everybody's perspective, you know. So yeah, that was the most interesting part of the episode. And man, Ekidona, there were some people who were mad at Subaru for not taking that deal and making a contract. And it kind of reminds me of the hatred people have towards Subaru for not getting with Rim. I think people are like kind of missing the point a little on this, And which I don't understand, because Echidona has made it clear, as EA already said, she's untrustworthy as hell. You just can't trust her. She was leaving out details of the contract throughout the whole thing. If not for Minerva, Subaru would have made that contract. And that's another point, but I love Minerva.
I know who Minerva is now. I know who she is now.
Yeah, the Power Ranger.
Yep, she ground pounded her way into the series, the scene, and was like, "Wait, Subaru, do not make that contract." She says it just like that because she's a Power Ranger.
She is great.
Interestingly enough, about people being mad at that, one, they watch too much anime, and two, there's already a story for that. Tepe Nagatsuki wrote. I don't know what it's called. He wrote an if story, like how he wrote Rim If, which is a story if in episode 18, Subaru got with Rim and the series ended there. The same thing happens, I believe. I think Tepe wrote a story, what would happen if Subaru accepted Echidona's contract and what that would entail. So it's pretty interesting. I don't know why people are mad about that. I guess they're just really horny for Echidona.
Is there any reason why anyone's not mad about anything? They'd be mad if he said yes.
You went robot, EA.
Am I good now?
Yes.
All right. I was just basically saying people would be mad about anything. They would have been mad if he said yes because people would be like, "It should have been me." It should have been me. Why does Subaru get all the look? He gets Rim and Itchy Donuts.
He gets.
I'm gonna be in my trailer.
He gets the crazy witches, and I just get normal women who don't have any weird baggage attached to them. Like, I don't know, being a fucking witch. Unfair.
Well, every girl that has some sort of romance with Subaru has something weird with them. Echidona's a witch. Rim is like a demon
and dead.
for now. And, well, Amelia doesn't really love him, but, you know, romance between them. She's a half-elf, so, yeah. And then, even if you want to say Beatrice, which that would be weird, but she's a great spirit.
Well, so. you gotta mention Beatrice, you gotta mention Felix.
Oh, Catboy.
Catboy's Rim. Catboy.
What you said something that I want to respond to, but I forgot what it was entirely. I kind of want to play devil's advocate with the whole why he didn't make the contract thing, because I think people were kind of tired of Subaru suffering because he doesn't really know what to do, because there's a lot of different things that he has to fix. He still has the problem with Elsa and remind me of the lolly's name.
Typhon? Daphne?
Lolly that's with Elsa.
Oh, Mobby's lolly.
Maylee, yes. He still has the issue of that in the mansion. He still has the issue with the great rabbit. So he has a lot of things that he can't fix. He still doesn't know how to do it. So I think people wanted him to make that contract because it kind of solves his immediate problems. And it sets him up for the future to have, as Echidona said, like the best possible ending. But this is why I said I think people are missing the point. She also said that with this best possible ending that he has to make sacrifices along the way. And the return by death are the reason why Subaru even returns by death is to mitigate those sacrifices. There's been times where, you know, like, he wants to save Amelia, right? That's, like, his real, like, ultimate goal. But sometimes the sacrifices for that goal is Rim dying or somebody else that he cares about dying. And he returns by death because he doesn't want to make those sacrifices. So I think him compromising on that specific thing is totally against his character. So I see why he would not make that contract.
That face, yeah. Would you accept a contract after they made that face to you? Hell no.
Yeah, I don't care how cool it was when she span in circles.
Right. She's spanning circles, talking really fast and saying all this other kind of stuff, and then you see her regular face turn into that absolutely wicked smile right there, and I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I want to keep my body. Because she was real happy to, like, as soon as he was, like, considering it, she just jumped up at return and was like, yes, and?
There were so many people in my server and all over the internet that were like, she said that Subaru could use her body whenever he wants. He should have accepted it.
Yeah, because that doesn't sound like possession whatsoever. Why would you want to be possessed by somebody?
No. She's she said that she would let him use her body, as in
whatever.
Oh, sexually?
No, like literally anything other than, like, sexually as well. And people were immediately like, hell yeah, get to have sex with her, sure.
But you, like, kind of sacrifice everything else.
Yeah, it's not
worth at the same time.
You can get sex from literally anyone.
Right. You know, he could have gotten it from Rem. Now she's nobody. Well, and now, you know,
she's dead.
I mean, you know what? I'm not even going to finish that.
Could have probably gotten it from Felix.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, Felix was... Yeah, like when Subaru, like after his death, when he killed himself after seeing Rem in that state, Felix was going in on him. She was like, he was like, you coward. And I was like, It was kind of interesting to see that. And Felix was real serious. And I think I posted this on Twitter because Felix always does the whole, the meow thing where he adds a Y to a lot of his, a lot of his words and everything, but he didn't even do it in that time. Just shows you how serious he took that moment with Subaru.
He's like, I don't want to be a cute cat person while you're dying. I'm just going to try to revive you. Yeah.
Oh, God, what else happened in this episode? Well,
at the very end.
Yeah, Satella.
Well, Nutella, she comes in. We get all the other witches, and one who perfectly is sloth. She, after every time she speaks, like, it's even a chore for her to speak.
I love it.
It's great, isn't it? She's laying on the ground. She's like, I'm the witch of sloth. And I'm just here.
Yeah. She's great. Her name's Sekhmet. And
Sekhmet?
Sekhmet.
Sekhmet.
Yes. And,
Sekhmet. Okay.
She looks like a JoJo character. Like
she really does.
Minerva and Sekhmet are JoJo characters to me.
Minerva looks more like something you'd see out of My Hero.
Yeah. For sure.
In my opinion. But you have the blind, hungry Lolly. You got the... Who is the one
Daphne,
that was...
Daphne looks like a JoJo stand.
Yeah, she does. Who's the one that pretended to be Rem, but she was, like, very nervous the whole time? Like, this was supposed
to witch,
happen.
The Witch Carmella. Of Lust. Toby Honda.
I wouldn't have pictured the Witch of Lust to look and act like that.
Well, that's the same voice actress as Toru in the new Fruits Basket anime. So I'm now
never seen
her.
It.
I'm now cut. Well, yeah. Soon.
Soon.
Carmella, or I now call Carmella the witch, the Witch of Lust, Toru Honda, because she's using the exact same voice that she uses for Toru, which is just like the most polite, cutest, innocent voice.
Oh,
yeah.
I just now remember something because of the comments. Wasn't there a young Reinhardt blown away? What's his face?
Puck. Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? Didn't that happen in the future? Wouldn't he be older? Not young?
No. This is when they were showing Subaru's death.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he's like in the current now, he's old, but in the past he was the young, so why would he be then dead, but young again?
You're thinking of Wilhelm.
Yeah, you're thinking of Wilhelm.
Oh.
They're both part of like the Von Estrella.
Damn it. I thought he was the same guy.
Wilhelm,
for some reason.
Yeah, Wilhelm was the former sword saint. And his wife was Teresia von Estrella.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, who was killed by the white whale.
Right.
And the new one is Reinhard, who's like the guy who sliced Elsa in half.
Oh, damn.
Well, tried to slice Elsa in half.
Okay, God. This is what happens when you don't watch the first season. Bad me. I mean, I did watch it. What I mean is, like, again, it had been years. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that scene just tells you how strong Reinhard is.
Yeah.
The scene that Puck has is Puck was very confident in his abilities to destroy the world. And Reinhard just... Oh, also, that's another thing, too. He was able to unsheath his sword. And we've seen before he wasn't able to do that versus Elsa because she wasn't strong enough, presumably. So Puck was strong enough. And again, he just obliterated Puck.
He got annihilated by that sword.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Can't wait to see more Reinhardt. I hope he's in the story more. That's one thing ever since I saw season one. I was like, this guy's just so cool. You know, I want to see this guy a little bit more.
He's too overpowered. It's hard to put him in any situation.
Put him in there with Akidona.
It's kind of like Saitama a little bit. It's like when you put him in a fight, I mean, just seeing what I've seen from him, like the sense of danger just lowers. Again, granted, this is only the second time we've seen him fight, but, you know. If he is in a situation, I'm going to put my money on him to win the fight.
After that,
should put your money on me.
No, I want to see Saitama and Reinhardt go at it.
I'll beat them both.
Oh, no. Please. I hate Saitama fighting the base. It's terrible. It's really bad. Trust me. Another thing that happened was... When Carmilla showed up, she showed up as in the image of Rim. But Subaru thought that she was shape shifting. But from what I understand, Subaru only saw Rim because of who he is, and not that she was trying to look like Rim. So I guess that kind of tells you something about how Subaru sees Rem, I guess you could say. The fact that he saw Rem and not Amelia or anybody else.
He takes after his mother, who's very observative.
Observant?
His if you remember in episode 4, when they were talking about when his mother was talking to him, she was like, I notice all of these things. I'm very observative. You think I'm absent-minded, but in reality, I pay great attention to my surroundings. And that's where Subaru gets that from.
It's a good episode.
But yeah, what did you guys initially think about this possibility of Rim coming back? Did you guys think she actually came back or what?
No.
No.
I didn't think so. I mean, I thought maybe for a split second, but then I thought to myself, wait a minute, he has to either be dreaming or this is some kind of trial. Why would she just come back? And not only would she come back, why would she be back right there in that spot? Like, I thought she was at the mansion or something. So I was just like, nah, I don't think it's her. And sure enough, it wasn't.
Wakes up after dying. I need to go put on my maid uniform and find Subaru-kun.
She had the nerve to ask Subaru, is he tired? I said, bitch, how dare you say that?
After sleeping
for the whole damn season.
Right. I'll take a nap when I'm dead.
But yeah, we're not getting Rem until we beat Cockroach Boy.
Yeah. I murdered those cockroaches.
Cockroach Boy?
Yeah.
That's what I call him. He looks like a cockroach.
Oh, Lei Bakintos, or whatever his name is.
Yes, Lei Bakintos.
I will never remember that name.
Just remember Laid Back Toast, and you'll remember it.
Bakaios, no. Maybe is his name?
Just no. He is Cockroach Boy.
Laid Back Cockroach.
Laid Back Papa Roach. That's his name, Papa Roach.
Yes. Losing my side, losing my mind.
Oh my god, somebody in Guitar Center right now is playing that riff because they like heard you sing it. They're like, there's a disturbance in the force. Must play this song by Papa Roach.
Lei Cockroach.
Well, we saw the ending of the episode with Subaru. Well, not the ending, but when Subaru basically said that he would take Beatrice's hand. So what that tells me is that his plan is probably to overwrite Echidona's contract with Beatrice, and then he'll have Beatrice as his great spirit, which I've been wanting to happen ever since we learned more about Beatrice. So I'm looking forward to see that.
Yeah, that should be a lot of great fun. Is there anything else that happened in the episode? I've been sick. I don't remember what the hell happened, to be honest.
Not really.
Nah. Just want to say again, I love Minerva.
Yeah, no, Minerva's
great. She saved Subaru.
She's the best.
She's a superhero. Wait, Subaru! Do not touch her filthy hand!
Her hands are probably filthy.
Yeah, she's been using her own fluids. And how she makes her own tea with her own fluids, ugh.
Yeah, she has no sink or shower. And she don't probably stinks.
How does she wipe her ass?
Don't know.
I think we know.
Wait, do we?
Well, if she ain't got no toilet paper and desperate times for come from desperate measures, what do you got?
We don't even know if she poops.
That's right, a thumb.
A thumb? So, okay, so how does she wash her thumb?
I don't know. She probably blows on it.
Blows on? Oh, my God.
You don't want to know how she cleans herself off.
Yeah, she probably rolls around in the grass. She's got plenty of it. She just drags her ass on the grass.
Oh my god. You're making everyone who's thirsty for Echidona like cry out in pain. Oh my god, we've already gotten comments. Like somebody's like, Jesus Christ.
Thumbs down. Cancel this guy.
he's talking about banging Rim while she's asleep. And thumbs,
you know,
butts.
You know, I didn't say it. You did.
I don't think so.
You said the first part.
I would never.
But the last part, I did say it, that she was going to drag her ass on the grass. Drag her ass on the grass. Just go skit, skit, skit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So,
if I ever want to make reserve videos, I think I'd get so many dislikes because I would be doing stuff like this.
You'd be like defying like all of like the fandom's waifus. You'd be like, how do you not love her? And you're like, I don't know, I just don't.
I mean, she's cool, but how does she wipe her ass?
See, it's a great question. Important question. And she does have to smell bad. Think of how greasy that hair is.
Oh my god. She's just sitting there sipping on the tea, not doing anything else. Shower time needs to happen in her future.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I bet her scalp is like a fucking, like, is like pavement.
She can easily make it snow.
She could.
Oh god.
Next episode, we gotta look to see if she has dandruff on her shoulder.
We find out that her hair is actually black.
I mean, she wears all black, so it would easily show. And her hair's white, so of course you can't see it.
X-Speed, stop using logic. We don't use that here. So, yeah, passing no. This episode, or what?
We don't know how she wipes her ass. That got me thinking. Like, out of everything that happened in this episode, it's
that,
just
got you,
that one part.
That.
Make a theory video.
I have to.
Oh my god.
I have to now. I hope we get it to a million views and dislikes. Yeah. I've been real lenient on this show. I think I'm gonna have to. I'll pass it. I have to see what happens in the next episode with Nutella.
Nutella, God.
Yeah, I might as well pass it.
Oh my God, does Beatrice take baths? You know, every single like. Does anyone take baths in the show?
Probably not.
I mean, they
all wear the same stuff.
I feel like Felix does. Mm-hmm. Because Felix is a cat.
The wonderful, wonderful cat.
And I would assume, by like extension, if Felix is taking a bath, then Krush would. So and Wilhelm. So yeah, like anyone not in Subaru's party probably takes a bath.
She stinks literally. Sasuke, did you read that?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Someone's talking smack about Elsa saying she stinks literally.
No, well, she does. She
Elsa probably
like...
smells like blackberries.
I was going to say blood, but okay.
I would say she smells like, she tastes like iron.
I don't even know what she does in her free time. I don't want to know what she does in her free time.
That was a good reference, though.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the final episode of Snafu. Which was amazing. Like, my God.
It was so fucking great.
I did not expect this ending to happen. Like, one bit. I was expecting him not to get with anybody. And then he does.
Uh-huh.
And it's Yukino. And I was like, but Yui. But also, oh my God, this is amazing.
This was, without a doubt, a fantastic ending. What can I really say? Really, in this episode, you see them kind of, even though they weren't really going out on a date, they were more just like scouting for their next, like, I don't know, like student event. But it was cutesy-wootsy. They were taking pictures and everything else. And then freaking what I greatly want in this world is to see Komachi and Aroha keep button heads. I mean, was that not cool or what? Because Komachi's just like this, and Aroha's like, what's this little rice girl doing over here and whatnot? I'm like, oh, that would have, you know, because I think that was the first time they had met each other, was that episode, right? Or am I wrong? Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah, and just how they were just kind of like going back and forth and whatnot. I'm like, man, I would have loved to have seen more of them kind of like arguing back and forth. It was neat seeing Komachi wearing the school uniform at the end. Just they were in their third and final year. And the one thing that I thought was a little awkward was at the very end when I guess it's like the first day of the new year and whatnot. Yui walks in and is like, hey, Yukino, I know this person that's with somebody I like, but I still want to be their friend.
Yeah, I was like, what, is she threatening to kill Yukino here? Like, what is happening?
It just turns into school days.
Right.
I'm off like, your head, Yukino, get in my bag.
Like, I'm like, wait a minute, what is happening? I don't. But she's
I'm
still
pregnant with his child.
Oh my God, please. But she,
so is my mom.
Oh my God.
I think that was a little awkward, and I'm pretty sure what we're going to get is them coming to a compromise, basically saying, I like him, but I like you more as a friend, and I want to make this work. And she should, I don't know. Yui should find someone else. She should go out with that Zaitsugo guy.
Oh.
He would totally be perfect.
Would he?
I mean, he already knows how to say Yahalo.
I think this episode, like, overall was just like it was just so good. I don't know what to say other than that. I thought the first portion of this episode was just like, it was just happening, and I was like, okay, interesting. And then like they see the wedding, and then, you know, they both look, and Hachiman is like, I think we're headed too fast. And I'm like, what?
And then she blushes. I'm like, oh, so cute.
So yeah, that was all pretty crazy. Oh my god. And then Hiratsuka, she's gonna get fucking arrested.
She fell on top of him like a cliche anime scene.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is this anime doing?
If there's one gripe I had about the season was that they weren't even trying to hide it with Hiratsuka Sensei anymore.
Yeah, they were like literally Hiratsuka was like doing everything like I don't even know what else she could do to try to get this guy.
She pretty much said, take me. And then that right there is when I was like, okay. she's going to jail.
Yeah. It was weird.
Maybe that's why she's transferring, as they found out that she's into Hachiman.
Right. It turned into a domestic girlfriend thing.
We saw a random post on Facebook. And like, if you look right here and you zoom and enhance like in CSI, you could see at this exact moment, you could say, take me to Hachiman.
That's the lure of Snafu. That's the lure of Snafu. Somebody took a picture of Hiratsuka and Hachiman when they were on the floor like that. We just didn't see it.
Right.
Someone took a picture of that shit.
With a poor quality cell phone, and it's all like in like 8-bit and like all choppy, but yet you still got that wonderful detail that you knew it was them.
That's how we get a sequel of the series.
Oh my god. It's like Orange is the New Black, but it's with Hiratsuka.
she gets sent into the penitentiary. Oh my god.
She's like trying to not get murdered because she, you know, underage people, because those guys apparently just get straight up murdered in prison like immediately. So she's like trying to survive, and it's like super dark.
Oh man. And then she won't have her cigarettes.
Yeah, she'll have to learn how to quit.
Oh yeah.
Freaking Yukino said I love you to Hachiman. And I screamed like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah. Thankfully,
I was like
thankfully it wasn't a I like you or something, or like some bullshit kiss.
Olive juice. What? Olive juice, YouTube.
I love YouTube. you love who?
Or they didn't do a fucking rent a girlfriend. I want it to be you. What? I mean, I want to be a girlfriend. Rent a
girlfriend. Finale was about the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
But this, you at least get that, and he's just, what did he say? He's like, oh, I can't stand her, but that's the thing that I love about her, is the part that I can't stand. That's true love, baby. That's true love.
Yeah, I just like
I can appreciate that they were definitive in their relationship and they didn't try to leave it ambiguous. Not to say ambiguous equals bad, but I think in some situations you just gotta make it clear. Like with the whole marriage thing, they kind of allude to that's gonna happen in the future. But we didn't have to see it, of course. That's you can leave that ambiguous, but I think their relationship should kind of just spell it out for everybody so we're not left guessing.
Oh yeah. They did use the first, Sasuke's going on over there. They reused the first opening from season one after she confessed and said, I love you. And I'm like, that is so perfect because
that gave me goosebumps.
It did me too, because it's like, not only did it show how far they've come along as people, but it shows just like how many years this took to get to that point. And
you know what it reminded me
so
of?
So great.
Because I literally just finished watching Inuyasha like the same day I finished this. And like at the last episode of Inuyasha, they played the first ending song again from the way back in the beginning of season one for the last ending of the series. So that's like, I love it when they do that kind of thing.
Me too. Because
it's a part of like, it's like a, hey, we watch our show too. It's like one of those things. Like, we're fans of this as well.
But we know when it comes to Inuyasha, the only best ending song is Bakudashiwa! Yes, that is the best. I don't care what anyone says. That is the best one.
Well, it's that one and the first one, and then I want to save the world. Did I do it good?
That one's okay.
Well, that's Bakudashiwa one of the most popular ones, I should say.
Yeah, Bakudashiwa is untouchable, I think. But fair enough, that one is pretty good. How are we handling post snafu depression?
Not.
I'm not taking good. A page out of Dr. Seuss, and you know how he says, "Don't cry because it's over. Be happy because it happened."
We're gonna go through like. You're gonna be like those three music videos from Guns N' Roses, like Don't Cry, November Rain, and like Estranged, whatever it was. You're just going to go through like these things, like in those music videos.
It's, you know, I'm at least happy that this show even got three seasons. Because shows like this never, at least from my experience, they never get extra seasons. You know, you always have shows that you wish could have gotten more, Watamote. And, you know, they never got a chance to even experience that, Dead Man Wonderland.
Well, Dead Man Wonderland needs a reboot.
They need some. They need some because I love that show. They needed to bring it back.
I mean, the ending of the manga ain't much better, to be honest.
It deviated. with the anime. I think the anime kind of made it to where they like escaped and everything. I'm not entirely sure because it's been a while, but yeah, things are much different in the manga.
Air Gear needs a remake. Air Gear, anybody?
A lot of people like that.
Good one. I loved Air Gear. But I heard
read it or seen it.
I heard the manga gets so bad that Barack Obama becomes an actual character.
Happens.
Like that is a straight shoot.
Donald Trump has been in a couple of manga.
But what I mean is he's skating and he does stuff along with everyone else.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, no, this isn't, he's like, it's me, Barack Obama, and I'm skating. It's like, oh my god, no.
Oh my lord.
But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed this show. I'm glad that I saw it all those years ago to get to this point. And all I can say is that this show made me happy. And if they ever come out with like a box set, oh yeah, I'm gonna own it.
Oh, no,
and I don't buy any physical anime.
You're gonna be paying $200 for that box set.
Then I'll buy the single. I already have the first and second season. I'll just buy the third season.
Well, yeah, I guess Sentai got a hold of it, so. If Aniplex is in charge of the final season, then you're going to be seeing $100 for just the 12 episodes, like a standard Blu-ray. And then $200 for a special edition. That's what they do with Fate and Bunny Girl Senpai.
I certainly hope not. Yeah, I understand that. But regardless, I enjoyed it all, and I heard rumor that the writer of the novel is actually planning on making another series, but with them in their third year, and they're also planning to do an OVA. And if more is to come after this, I'll watch it. I just don't want them to like run it into the ground if they decide to make an anime adaptation, which they probably will, since they've already done three of them. And yeah, I would watch that. Absolutely, I would.
So they're going to make a next series, and it's going to start. And the opening is going to be... Hachiman is going to be like... Together with our friends, we're going to find the ancient jewel shards.
Oh, gosh. Back to Inuyasha. Shit.
Terrible.
I love it. It's the worst.
I think we had to cover Iroha, and she's like a demon.
Oh my god, that's right. She told Yui how to try to steal him from Yukino.
Yep. She straight up told her to pretend like she's drunk, to get him drunk, and to have sex with him so he would feel guilty enough to stay with her.
Hey, Yui, date rape him.
I can't totally say that, but like, yeah, it's definitely manipulative.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a little. You're only trying to trick somebody into falling in love with you by doing the absolute most worst thing possible. But yeah, it's just a little.
That's the thing. It's not even she wants. She's just like, okay, I don't. She is honing in on Hachiman's sense of responsibility to like entrap him, kind of. But then I like what Komachi said. She was like, wait a minute. You said Yui would be able to drink in 3 years. She could drink in 2 years. So isn't that just for you? And she just told her to shut up. She didn't even try to defend herself.
But we all know Yui wouldn't even do that. She's too nice.
I don't think Iroha would do that either, to be honest.
You think she's all talk?
With that specific thing, yes. Okay. I don't think she would do anything like that.
Yeah, she comes off as being that way, but yeah, she probably wouldn't. But she's great.
Yeah, I like the dynamic between Komachi and Iroha. We didn't see it that much, but
I know
it seems like Komachi can keep pace with Iroha and her tricks and everything, because she kind of trolled Iroha back because she beat her big sis, I think, in the episode, and she was like, oh, that's just a hypothetical, you know, just kind of I think she saw that she liked Hachiman as well, so she just trolled her by calling her big sister, by saying like if you were with Hachiman, I'll call you big sister, but it's kind of not happening.
Yeah, that's so
cuts both ways.
I would have loved to have seen more of that, but hey, if they ever do make a sequel season, we have to see that. F for Sensei. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sensei's gone. She's gone. She basically is the reason why Hachiman is the way that he is.
Somebody asked that in the chat. They said, what did you think about Hachiman's growth?
I thought it was absolutely great. Like, you really did get to see character development and character growth throughout, I guess it was a year, in which this story took place. And to me, it was all very realistic on how he went through all those changes. And, you know, he had to basically just kind of like get over that whole fact and stop doing the self-sacrifice stuff and realize your actions come with consequences. And yeah. He's a better man now because of all that. And I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
It's weird with my opinion on Hachiman. I don't think he's actually changed that much. I do think he developed a lot. Like, we learned about his character over the course of Snafu, all these seasons. We learned so much about him. He's fleshed out well, but I think his actual growth, I don't think at his core he has changed too much. Like, his perspective on youth and romance and things like that definitely have changed. He doesn't he doesn't see things as superficial like he once did, and he's formed real connections with people that he probably wouldn't have at the beginning. But I still think he does like the self-sacrificing things. It's just that he doesn't the way he views himself and other people is altered a bit. You know, he's a lot more optimistic. So I think that's the part of him that changed. But he still has some of his core personality traits intact. Like Yukino said in the episode, like, his eyes are still rotten and things like that. But, you know.
Yeah, when she was taking the picture, it's just like, yeah. your rotten eyes, what the hell? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
QRW6 says, what do you guys think of Sensei quoting Hachiman's words from the first season? Youth is a lie. It's nothing but evil.
Yeah, that's where it comes back from, how much he's grown over the year, you know. And he's even embarrassed over what he said. Like, he's just like, oh, that was like 10 years ago or whatever.
God, that's when I was into Marilyn Manson. Don't talk about that.
Right. I was in my angsty phase around that. I don't want to talk about it, but it definitely, you know, shows that he's grown and that he even doesn't like what he had said back then, because now he's coming at it with a brand new, different perspective. And that, again, is the whole growth of Hachiman, our protagonist, who I do tend to agree. He is a really good protagonist. He's definitely up there.
Way better than Goblin Slayer.
where he's just known as Goblin Slayer, and all he does is slay goblins. And that's his motivation in life, is that he wants to kill goblins.
Goblin
and whenever Slayer. He goes to sleep, he dreams about killing goblins. Goblin and whenever Slayer, he eats food, he wants to eat, and he thinks about killing goblins.
At the very end of Goblin Slayer, he kills the very last goblin, takes off his helmet, and it's Hachiman. And he just goes, youth is a lie, and I killed it. And then, like, Doom music plays.
Oh my god, that would be the most hilarious shit ever.
Beautiful.
I really got nothing else to say other than this is, and I know I'm just saying that because it just ended, but this is probably one of the best slice of life I've seen. Like, definitely maybe top 5, maybe even top 3, if not one of the best.
QRW6 says, but who will get the Goblin Slayer Award this season is the question. Well, you will find out next week.
I was going to say.
Next Saturday is the
year. I have a list.
I still have to make that list, too. Fuck. Damn it. I guess I'll do that right after the show ends. I mean, you know, final thoughts on the series as a whole. This is great. 7 years.
Watching the show. And it was fantastic.
I remember when I was but a teenager watching this show, and now I am but a mid-20s person. And, it was great to follow along, and kind of makes me want to cry a little bit.
I'm glad I took a chance on this show. It you know, it goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover, because I just saw the cover. It was Yukino and Yui, and Hachiman's in the background just going, I don't know where the fuck I'm looking at. And I'm just like, it's another one of these. I'm going to watch it. And I watched it, and I'm glad I did. And the rest is history.
Well, I haven't been a huge fan of this season in particular with Snafu. But I think as a whole, it didn't bring it down, my opinion on the series as a whole, because I still think it's a really good series. I'm satisfied with the very last episode. I think it wrapped up everything nicely, at least in the time that they had. So overall, really good series. I would probably recommend it to anybody who isn't... isn't just a fight-oriented person or anything like that. If you are down with Slice of Life series, you'll probably enjoy this. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess moving on to... saying goodbye to Snafu. It's so sad. And moving on to say goodbye to Ping Pong. The animation. last two episodes, 10 and 11. First of all, I gotta say, EA, what the hell? Why didn't you show up in my life sooner? this anime this anime is amazing.
Why? Well, probably because you were a teenager at that point, and I was an adult. I still am, but you know what I mean.
I cry. So these last two episodes were absolutely just...
Weren't they incredible?
Like, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I mean,
amazing.
Episode 10 alone is literally just the match between, you know, Pekko and the dragon. And even that, just by itself, is incredible. Just, like, everything that's going on in that match is so... so great, from the storytelling to just the action, the animation, spectacular. And then the last episode in general, oh, just all.
this last episode reminded me so much of like the last episode of Evangelion, which it had a reference to Evangelion in the last episode. He had on his notebook, it said like AT Field and Misato yelling Shinji. And Shinji saying I mustn't run away, those were some pretty awesome Easter eggs to put in there. And it definitely, you know, Evangelion was very avant-garde for its time, and it's still kind of technically avant-garde. And who else is the master of avant-garde? Masaaki Yuasa. So this last episode, I think the flashbacks to when they were children were incredible. Like, he's the one who, like, you know, got him to pick up the ping pong paddle in the first place and play a game. And that is Pekko. And this rivalry, this relationship between them has grown up until this point. I guess it's not really a rivalry, but you know what I mean. Just absolutely incredible storytelling. Like this last episode is the best episode in the series easily.
Well, for me, I like the structure of, I don't remember since I watched it, like one after another. So I don't know if it was in episode 11 or 10, but I like the structure of the episode because it just referenced what we kept seeing throughout the entire anime, where there was a masked hero and you had Smile locked away in his closet, and he's just talking to himself, saying like, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to be found. I'm not even going to breathe or make a sound or anything like that. But it's a hero that, you know, opens up the closet and lets him out. And we found out the hero was Pekko, which I'm pretty sure, like as the episodes go by, you can kind of figure it's Pekko's, but it's just like how it was done was just so great. Smile saying that Pekko's was the hero he's been waiting on, because he is the one who started Pekko and the whole journey, I guess you could say, of playing ping pong and everything. And he you can say he is the reason that Smile smiled, because as Pekko remembered back, he always used to smile when he played ping pong. Anytime other than that, he was like this robotic dude who didn't show too much emotions, and everybody made fun of him for that. And I think that's also the reason why we got that whole quote of blood tastes like iron. I don't know the exact meaning of that, but the way I interpreted that was because of the whole robot thing. Like, blood is inside of everyone, and the iron thing is, you know, kind of like a reference into Smile always being called a robot, you know. So, like, that's the way I interpreted that, that Smile is human just like everybody else. But I don't know how you guys thought of that quote.
No, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's, I think, exactly what it means is, you know, people may call you a robot, they may call you this and no emotion, this and that, but deep down underneath, you're human just like everyone else. So don't let anyone tell you anything otherwise. That's what I definitely think that's what it means.
Yeah. And the match between Kazuma and Pekko's was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. What it reminded me of was the Golden State Warriors with a 3-0 lead going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then Cleveland just came back and took it all in Game 7.
Yeah,
because freaking
turned it up.
Yeah, because he was literally one game away from winning it, and he was 6 points, so all he had to do was score 5 more points, and then that was it. Yeah, and then the turning point came, and then, yeah, Pecos just tore it up.
Yeah, and I think the good thing about that match was, like, Kuzma's mentality throughout it. He wasn't mad or anything that he was losing. He was actually happy that he could go all out, and he reached new heights, like the imagery we saw of him sprouting wings and flying with Pecos. I think, like, that's probably been the most alive he's ever been in a match. As his teammate said, they've never seen him smile. So right. That was the one time they seen him smile, it was in this match with Pecos. So, well, a genuine smile. He smiled, but, like, not right. A real smile or anything like that.
Right.
Because we seen he's not happy playing ping pong. It's weird because while Smile is this person who's supposed to be robotic and everything, you can say the same thing about Kazuma because he is just so work-oriented. He just focuses on the mission of playing ping pong. That's it. That's all he really had to his life. But this is the first time he had fun playing ping pong. So I think the match with him and Pecos is just great on that front.
I also liked how it touched a little bit on, you know, on Kazuma and how basically he was, I don't know, kind of like bred to be this unstoppable, like, ping pong machine, and not ping pong machine, you know, like, athlete. And like, even though it's never shown or said, but it's definitely implied, his father killed himself, and you know, he had to live with not having a father and having to be raised, you know, to be brought up as just this machine, so to speak. And yeah, I guess in a way he was never happy with ping pong because the person who showed him what ping pong was taken away from him. So he never really rekindled that love until Pecos came and actually bested him. And I think that's kind of, that was sweet within itself as well.
I mean, honestly, this, I also like the whole injury angle with Peiko as well. And him and Kazuma, the dynamic between them and how he used the different kind of paddle, how it wasn't working for him initially. And he's just being outplayed by Kazuma, and then suddenly he just goes Super Saiyan Ping Pong and just, like, closes the gap. And it's damn. I don't know what to say.
He was even doing his own style. He did, like, the one from behind the back to best him a few times.
Yeah. Lots of, oh my God, just really cool technique in that fight. That fight, oh my God!
It pretty much it felt like a fight, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It felt like some, like, really, like, high stakes battle of some kind, like, between two people. It was really cool. I like how the guy that won the last tournament all those decades ago came back, and the way they and that conversation they had was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Kazuma's grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who that is. With Butterfly Joe and what's her face, Goku. But yeah, that one was pretty cool. I liked overall the last episode. And how you see everyone is now kind of like as adults. You know, you see Smile. He's a coach, but he doesn't take it too seriously. He just goes back to his whole character dynamic. He loves the game, but he's not all into it like Peiko was. And Peiko's he's finally living his dream. He's playing ping pong in the Olympics. And then we see kind of Kazuma kind of had a tumble at some point. And he has hair. He looks like a gangster.
Yeah, yeah, he has hair.
Which and is... freaking the other guy who ended up being with that annoying girlfriend, he now has three kids. He's got three
kids. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
With the same woman, the annoying one.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. How did he do it?
Well, you see, when a man loves a woman.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. If she sounds like that normally, I can't imagine how she sounds in the bed. It would be... You probably have to wear like like earplugs.
Don't stop.
Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, that one guy that showed up with the long hair.
Yeah, who went to go soul searching, and then he came back and he remembered why he loved ping pong so much. Oh, I never noticed it the first time, but while I watched it again on my second one, I'm like, I didn't even think he was like a Superman character, but even though he wasn't, it was interesting just to see, because his story was kind of interesting where for the little that we saw him, where it was, he was there, he wanted to kind of like get away from it for a while, came back after a year after he couldn't find what else he liked, he still found out he loved ping pong and wanted to go back to give it another to go. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'll never leave you again. that was just really cool by itself.
Yeah, he had like a subplot without having any focus.
Right. Right. Like, I don't even think I remember his name. I just know him as the guy who wanders the earth.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he is to me.
I don't even know. He's like Jesus.
Japanese Jesus.
Japanese Jesus.
Incredible, is it not?
It really, really is. Oh.
What else happened in this episode?
The one last thing that I can honestly think in the last episode was, Smile saw that paddle, and I think it was the same paddle that Pecos threw a long time ago when he said he was done with ping pong. He saw that very same one, the one that Pecos, I'm pretty sure it was, because it looked all old and rickety. Yeah, they did. And he took it, and he threw it while at the same time. While he threw it, Pecos returned to serve, and I'm like, how? That is poetic justice. That not justice, but that's just poetry right there. Get one giving up one while the other's returning the favor. Oh, I'm just like, you couldn't have ended it any perfectly than that.
Yeah, this is, I haven't seen many Masaaki Yuasa stuff. I've seen Devilman, that's it. And I was like, that's terrible. This, I'm going to go on a limb and say this is probably his best work.
This is his masterpiece.
Like this, yeah, this is incredible. Like, I don't know, like, if my words do it justice. Probably don't. Just like how words, the dialogue in this anime can't do it justice. Not even the animation. Right. It all works together.
Mm-hmm.
This was incredible. Any final thoughts on Ping Pong the Animation?
I'm glad I got to share it with y'all. That's all I'm gonna say is I'm glad I got to introduce you guys to something that I enjoyed.
I'm glad you chose it. I like concise series like this. Didn't go on for too long. Didn't overstay its welcome. For me, I think it's a great series overall. But like thinking about it in a bubble of like sports anime. And granted, I haven't watched a lot. I watched like Hanabato. I watched Kuroko no Basket. Still got to watch Keijo.
Yes.
Great sports anime.
Top tier.
I think this one, and granted, again, I haven't watched many, but I would probably say is the best one I've watched that I can think of. It's just a great series. Like I said, I like shorter series. I have a bias towards that, but I think it just told a great story. So, yeah, it's probably my favorite sports series.
There you go. There you go. So I guess we've kind of hit the end here, but I just want to say next week, before we do all the outros and stuff for everybody, so stick around for that. Next week is going to be the award show. We'll do ReZero episode 13, last episode of the season, and then we'll just go right into the awards. It'll be a 2-for-1. You get a normal episode of King of Anime and an awards show. Something to change it up a little bit. With that being said, where can they find you?
You can find me at Everything Animated. I, you know, for the people that are into Snafu, I just uploaded my final episode review, reaction, whatever you want to call it, on Snafu. I'm going to be doing a few more episodes, not episodes, just videos in the future. I also have another channel with my girlfriend, All Elite Couple. Right now we are at 58 subscribers, and we're looking to get more, hopefully by the end of the year.
As for me, regular channel, Satsuki the Savage, reaction channel, Satsuki Reactor, where I live react to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Battle in Egypt. Almost done with that. Have 9 episodes left. And one more episode of ReZero, at least for this first half of this season. People said I couldn't do it. I did it. I told your bitch ass.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it.
You proved them buttheads wrong. That's what you did.
Right.
Nah, nobody actually doubted me. But you gotta feel like you have doubters to hype yourself up.
We all have haters, even us small channels.
It's like that one episode of the Fruits Basket podcast where I was like, you all doubted me, every single one of you.
Works.
Hey, it works. Just everyone's like, I never doubted you. I'm like, yes, you did.
You always did. Even when you called me, I never called you names. Yes, you did.
I was your support for so long. You doubted me every step of the way. You mocked me. Oh. So, thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of the King of Anime podcast, where I'm dead and Satsuki is alive and EA is a higher power. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Jenny.